patreon.com/thewalkoffpodcast. $4 a month gets you in there.
Baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
6 days until the opening day of Major League Baseball. Holy crap, Adam. We did it, man. It's been a long offseason. And for any content creators out there who are making baseball content throughout the winter, like, a tip of the hat to you, because it is tricky to dig stuff up. So I'm pretty darn excited that next Friday, we're going to be going over a legitimate, important, meaningful baseball game.
I am looking forward to daily content about stuff that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Outings.
It's going
all of it. I know.
Even like, talking spring training sucks. Let's be serious.
We all know it. I mean, and I know I've been sassy with my video titles and my thumbnails lately, taking shots at all the clickbait that's out there and whatever. But I also acknowledge, like, you got to do what you got to do if that's the kind of channel you're into. And we are very blessed to have such an awesome community. It's small, but it's powerful. And so we've been able to mostly avoid that kind of
content. I mean,
we still get into it, and it's
of course we do
this time of year.
Speculate and exactly. But no, it is very exciting. So we are going to talk opening day. We are going to get into the farm system rankings. MLB.com just released their rankings of organizational depth and the farm systems for each team. We'll let you know where the Blue Jays lined up, and then give you the top 10. Just so you have an idea of where the league is at. Yusei Kikuchi, an excellent start yesterday. He's got one more time. He's hitting the mound during spring training. His strikeouts are over 1/9, which is excellent. So we'll talk Yusei. We'll get a little bit into the fifth starter and the depth that we might see throughout the season. We're going to talk what the Jays need to do to win the AL East. And then we're going to talk the American League West, because it might be a little bit more up for grabs than everyone originally thought with Houston in that division. But an injury or two, you know, Altuve's already out for half the season. We could see some movement there. And then we're going to end everything on what you're watching. By demand. Request, if you will.
I got segment. Some good ones. I got some good ones for today. So
excellent.
I'm out of the doghouse. My taco glove has been forgiven.
In all its glory.
My wife bought a mattress, so now we're even. and I get to watch what I want to watch once again. So I got a lot to get to.
You can always follow us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast. We're on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. Feel free to join the Discord if you want a link for that. Reach out to us. Send us a DM and we'll send you the link. And for Patreon, number one, tip of the hat to everyone who is putting that buck a week in our pocket. It is appreciated. It does help the show cover its costs. And we have added some value to the Patreon, Adam.
Thank you to Michael Meyer, who brought this up a couple days ago. Michael Meyer says, would be awesome to have the audio also on Patreon. I didn't realize that this was an issue. I don't ever watch the content that we make other than editing it, and that's enough consumption for me. But apparently, you were not able to play the Patreon. We throw the Patreon video up immediately. It's raw. It's unedited. It has all the extra BS in before and after the show. Apparently, if you leave the app or you lock your screen or whatever, the video stops, you know, similar to YouTube. I didn't think that was the case since Patreon's a premium product. I thought they would have that enabled. Anyways, Michael pointed out that that's not the case. And of course, if you're listening to this at work, streaming an audio file as opposed to a video file, less data. It's a lot of good reasons. So Simple fix. It takes me about 2 seconds. So we're doing that every time now. So every day we put the podcast up, check for the audio file or the video file, whatever you prefer. It's there. So shout out to Michael for bringing that to our attention.
Now, before we get right into it, I did wish to just do a little self promotion here, some shameless plugging for my comedy. And I made the mistake last show of saying Halifaxers. What's funny is I lived in Halifax. I know it's Haligonians. I got like half a dozen DMs being like, Halifaxers, what are you talking about? But anyways, Haligonians listening, I am at Yuck Yucks tonight. I'm also there tomorrow night. Feel free to stop on by. It would be great to see you out. And
Haligonians. What?
See, now you're learning a little something. Yeah, it's not Halifaxers. They hate that.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. That's a odd one.
It is an odd one.
You know, I got roasted pretty hard a couple weeks ago for not knowing any other cities in Manitoba.
Right.
Other than Winnipeg. And I think you pointed out Brandon. And then I mentioned Swift Current for some reason, which is not in Manitoba.
No. And sure isn't.
It's one of those.
You're upset in Manitoba and you're upset in Saskatchewan.
It's just one of those WHL teams that I know is from like way too far for me to drive today. You know, I just know I'll never get there in one day. Anyways, Haligonians. Wow. Okay. I'm learning. What's that come from?
Someone who is smarter than us, do the research and drop it in the comments, folks. I have no idea.
All right. Yeah. Do the research for us and let us know. We got baseball to talk about.
Yes, we do.
Let's get to baseball opening day.
Let's get into it. Exactly. All right. There will be a link for the tickets to the Yuck Yuck shows this weekend. If you do wind up coming out and come up to me and mention the walk-off, I will grab you a beer. Let's talk opening day here. 6 days away, Thursday, all 30 Major League Baseball teams are in action. Of course, the Toronto Blue Jays is the one we'll be keeping an eye on as they start their season against the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, today is the day that most of these teams are going to announce their starting pitcher for the first game of the season. And it looks like, barring some sort of shocking revelation here, and by the time I announce this, you probably all will already know, they'll announce it before this is out, I'm sure. But Alek Manoah should be that guy, 25 years old. He will be the youngest pitcher to start a season for the Blue Jays outside of Roy Halladay, who also was the opening day starter at 25 years old. So there you go. A little, very cool. Little history there for you. I'm excited, man. I'm excited for this team. I'm just pumped to finally see what this front office has built be put into play in an actual game that matters.
You're excited to taste the cake. They've been baking a cake all off season. We're going to get to at least taste the batter, right? We're going to lick the blender things. We're going to get to taste it. It's exciting. There's a finally, food analogy. Check it off your bingo sheet. Yeah, Adam's food
finally
analogy.
Finally, this metaphor has come to fruition. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll move on from there. Obviously, Thursday is a big day for all us baseball fans. Now, MLB.com came out on Wednesday. They released their farm system rankings. And I'll be honest, man, the Blue Jays a little lower than I was hoping that they would be. It does make sense. Obviously, they just gave up Gabriel Moreno in a trade for Dalton Varsho. That is going to be a hit to the value put on their farm system. The Blue Jays came in at number 20.
Well, you just mentioned the trade for Dalton Varsho. The Diamondbacks, with the addition of Gabriel Moreno, number 3 on the list.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they would have been without it, but worth noting.
Definitely a bump up. One thing to keep in mind with farm system rankings that truly it does all depend on how other general managers, other organizations view your talent within your system. So the ranking here from one or two MLB.com reporters, not necessarily how the rest of the league views it. Although we did hear rumors last year, right, that maybe the organization was not quite as strong when it comes to their depth in their minor league system as a lot of us were hoping. They were having trouble at the trade deadline getting that over-the-top guy without giving up, you know, like the Blue Jays have three or four big-time prospects that everybody wants. But what you need in that system is a deep pool of guys where there's a lot of organizations being like, you know what, I can see talent there. I can see potential. This is a guy that I want throwing in. It's like when we were talking draft picks the other day, Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. What I'm about to say is not related to draft picks, so I'm freezing, because if you want to build on that, we can.
No, I was just more just it's nice to have toppers to a trade that'll move that needle just enough to get stuff done, right?
Agreed. So what I was going to say about this farm system, I'm one coffee deep. I need another coffee urgently. the value or the evaluation of a farm system, I'm just going to say this is my opinion here. I think this is skewed towards AAA.
100%
heavy.
I would agree with that.
I know that it's still like, well, you know, you look at an organization like whatever, if they have a high pedigree number one draft pick and he's playing double A or single A, obviously that is going to factor into the equation. But because of the way development in professional baseball is such a journey, right? Journey, I think, is the best word for it, because it's so it's such a lengthy process that so many things can go wrong. You know, a guy can be drafted first overall, never making out a single A, right? But the closer and closer they get to MLB playing time, the more confident you have that, okay, this prospect that we drafted 3 years ago that we've been developing, this Ricky Tiedemann, is getting closer to actually, you know, every challenge we've thrown at him, they've risen to the occasion, that they've matched it and they've thrived, right? So that is a factor with the Blue Jays. I mean, we've gone on it for a while now that this is the deepest the team has been in years at AAA. But we are penalized by the fact that, you know, a lot of our talent has successfully made that leap already, right? I know the departure of Gabriel Moreno hurts, but I'm looking down this list and some of the teams that are below us. I mean, you've got the Mariners are 24th on that list. You know, obviously with Julio Rodriguez making the
jump
phenomenal off debut that he had last year, that's an impact there. The Houston Astros, 26th on this list, 27th. I mean, if Mr.
Jeremy Pena
was still in AAA, right, then that's a factor. The Atlanta Braves are dead last, but, you know, we know how competitive the Atlanta Braves are and, you know, such a young, talented team there. And then you've got a team like the Baltimore Orioles, who just have so many guys that are right on the precipice but haven't quite made that leap, bar Adley Rutschman. I know Rutschman has.
I think the other thing to keep in mind when it comes to the Toronto Blue Jays is how young those top prospects are, right? Number one, Ricky Tiedemann, just turned 20 years old. He has 74 innings pitched in professional baseball. Brandon Barriera is number two in the Blue Jays prospect rankings. Brandon Barriera has yet to pitch a professional inning, right? Like, he spent time at the complex last year, but he's just starting this Florida Coast League. He's out of high school. He's 18 years old. I think he might be turning 19 this season, but again, very young for your top two prospects. And then you even get into Aurelvis Martinez, and he's 20 going on 21. So
I'm down on Brandon Barriera, not down on him. I'm bullish on him. Whatever the stock market term that means, like trepidatious and cold,
right?
I'm not hot on him, only because I do think that I see this every year where last year's first overall draft pick is immediately a top three prospect. Yeah. And then by the end
of the season, if you were drafted in the first round, you're getting some love right up the gate.
It's an easy bump to say, hey, this is the shiny new toy. So by the end of the season, he might be outside of the top 10 or outside of the top 20. We'll see what he does at the pitching lab. But I do want to just reassure the fans a little bit, but two things that do frustrate me. The Rays are a top six farm team, and the Yankees are a number 13. I know Jason Dominguez is going to be an absolute masher for this team. Volpe is going to be.
Yeah.
It's not fair when they get to spend on free agency the way that they do and still have young guys coming up to like let them out of some of those albatross contracts, you know. It's just bad. It's a little maddening.
It is very frustrating. You know,
where for the last couple of years, we've been telling ourselves like, ooh, that Stanton contract is sure going to sink them. And Gerrit Cole hasn't looked like he's been worth his mega deal. And, oh, they're going to really paint themselves into a pickle with this Aaron Judge free agency, you know, bidding war. And here they have.
Yeah.
But now they're going to have Anthony Volpe, who's going to be like a gold glove shortstop. And he's going to play for free for the next 5 years. And that's just so frustrating. And anybody who's like thinks he's not going to win a gold glove, if you're a shortstop for the Yankees and you're decent, you're going to win a gold glove. So
shade Derek Jeter, shade being thrown.
Shade to Derek Jeter. Yeah. Let's have it out.
So let's break down the top 10 then before we move on. At number one is the Baltimore Orioles with the best farm system. They are loaded with talent up and down that depth chart. And a lot of it has to do with the fact the Baltimore Orioles have been a dog shit team for 8 years. It helps. Like they have not been very good since 2016. And so they have accumulated a lot of assets and a lot of draft picks. And at number two, this is so annoying, but the Los Angeles Dodgers, that farm system, like the Dodgers have the best spending, you know, the biggest budget in baseball. And then to also add to it that they've got such a great player development system going on there. They have managed to literally develop player after player who can, like you mentioned with the Yankees, alleviate some of the burden of those big free agent contracts, right? Where you can have a guy come up and pay him nothing for 5 years until he's ready for free agency. It really helps these big market teams like the Los Angeles Dodgers. You mentioned it earlier, but Arizona, the Diamondbacks are in at number three. Cleveland, of course, the Guardians are in at number four. The Guardians are very similar to the Dodgers in that they just do player development right. They're always a top 10 farm system, however it winds up going, and they have climbed up and broken the top five this year. Cincinnati, the Reds are in at number five. Tampa Bay Rays, as you mentioned, they're the same, just consistently a top 10 farm system, and they're in at number six. The Texas Rangers are actually in at number seven. So the Rangers are spending some big-time money and really hoping that some of this farm depth works out so that they can alleviate, you know, like the half a dozen premium shortstops that they're carrying. The Pirates are in at eight, the Cardinals in at nine, and then rounding off the top 10 is the lowly Washington Nationals. Did you have anything you wanted to add on farm systems, how they're graded and where the Blue Jays wound up?
I just want to add errors and omissions. I lumped Gabriel Moreno in to the score of the Arizona Diamondbacks. He is no longer considered a prospect by MLB.com.
There you go.
So,
okay. So Arizona, just a really good system.
Corbin Carroll, Jordan Lawler, Drew Jones, some of the top guys in that Diamondback system.
Oh, well, if they're counting Corbin Carroll, that makes sense then. Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't know fair. I don't know why you would count Corbin Carroll, but not Gabriel Moreno.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but you never know with like some of these guys, just enough playing time, right? Gabriel Moreno, of course, had 25 games played with the Blue Jays last year before
Corbin Carroll had
in the offseason.
Corbin Carroll had 32 with the Diamondbacks.
So I don't understand how it works, and I have no idea how they they grade when a player is not a prospect or not anymore.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
I think it depends on the list too, because there's lists with Nate Pearson still as a prospect. So
yeah, all right. Well, let's clearly we've demonstrated we don't know what we're talking about. Let's talk the posting system and how Japanese players come over. I'm just kidding. But we neither of us clearly understand the value of Japanese players and how all that works. So that's a shout out to the 30-minute rant that we had on the Patreon portion of last episode's episode. So.
We are trying to do our homework. We reached out to Hey Kami and asked him if he could find us somebody who can explain it to us, come on the show and explain the posting system, explain how the Japanese players become available to major league teams. And then that way boneheads like us and anyone who also struggles with that, you know, can know.
it's an important detail. And I do like the fact that our method of doing our homework is what's the right word for it? Man, I'm blanking today.
Expressing an opinion and waiting for it to be wrong and then
no baiting people into correcting it for us. No, our method of us doing our homework is hiring someone else to find someone else.
Yes, who can do we the like to hire us. No, we're all about those independent contractors here on the walk-off.
Exactly.
Okay, right. So let's talk Yusei Kikuchi and that fifth spot in the starting rotation. Listen, man, he looked really good all spring long, other than a start a couple starts ago where he allowed 4 runs in 3 innings. He's been pretty shut down. He's maybe walking a few more guys than you want to see and missing a spot a little bit, but also he's putting up more than a strikeout per inning. You can't ask for more than that. He hasn't given up much in the realm of runs. And I think he has without a doubt locked down that fifth spot. He is the guy they're going to. We all knew that coming into spring, and it has been confirmed by his performance here. And we've talked about also the fact that, you know, spring doesn't matter, but it's better, you know, small sample size don't matter, but it's better a good small sample size than a bad small sample size. Zach Thompson, who is going to be in AAA to start, has looked fantastic, okay, other than the first couple starts of the season where he struggled a little bit, but he's really settled in with his new team and this new organization in the Blue Jays. And he'll start in Buffalo. He's got great spin, like just a top dude when it comes to the spin on his fastball. One of the reasons that the Blue Jays were so interested in him. You got Bowden Francis, who was, some of you might forget, but he was the throw-in in the Trevor Richards deal with the Brewers that sent Rowdy Tellez to Milwaukee. And Bowden has been a guy that they really thought would take the next step last year and then really, really struggle. And he was sent to Puerto Rico to play in their winter league. And they worked on his delivery. They worked on his pitch selection. And he's having the best spring of his career right now. And I think that he has definitely moved up the depth chart in this Blue Jays organization. And has rightfully so caught the eye of some of the Blue Jays development department. And I think that he is probably, you know, number two, number three to be called up. Drew Hutchison, of course, in that realm. So it is going to be interesting to see what happens here. Mitch White was hitting 95 miles an hour just the other day. He is now pitching to live hitters. He's playing in spring training, minor league spring training games. Mm-hmm. Mitch White, just a reminder to everyone, Mitch White does not have options, which means he cannot be stashed in AAA without being put on waivers and being available to the other 29 teams. Something that this Blue Jays organization, I guarantee, will do everything in their power to avoid. Yep. So I think Mitch White is going to start in the bullpen. I think that they are going to try and stretch him out, have him as the long man, have him as a guy who's a 2-3-4 inning option and is close to being able to ramp up as a starter if there is, for whatever reason, knock on all the wood, a bad taco situation and someone has to replace. So I think Mitch White is number one in replacing a starter if you need it. I think right under that is Zach Thompson. And then after that, it's some sort of order of Bowden Francis, Drew Hutchison, Casey Lawrence. You know, it gets worse and worse, the names. But that's any organization.
Yep.
I'm excited about our next topic. Oh, no, if you want to add something here, go ahead.
No, this is just a fun thing. The way you added this to the show notes, Yusei Kikuchi, you described him as Mr. March.
Yes, Mr. March.
A hilarious slight. I was at the pool with my kid yesterday, and we heard some other boys trash talking one of their friends, and the one guy says, "Now that is a diss," and my daughter loved that. So, Mr. March, that is a diss. Yes. Mr. March and the five spot is actually how you described it, and I just thought that sounds like a old 80s rock band, you know, like that would play on the Tonight Show, you know, like Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, Mr. March in the five spot. I just wanted to shout out quickly. After last week's or earlier this week, we had an episode. I don't know if it was mailbag. I think it was mailbag. And we had a comment from Tunes Day with Johnny. We mentioned that we have an intro song that we're looking to have performed. Johnny reached out. Offered their services. We're very excited. We did get a few other messages actually as well.
Yeah. On
Instagram and Twitter from other people who are interested in doing some baseball music for the show.
And this is why our community is the best, dude.
Exactly.
Honestly.
So yeah. I just wanted to say to everybody who has reached out, yes, we're 100% in. And maybe it's a rolling intro, where we just have a different version being played by the various Canadian artists nationwide. I think that'd be kind of cool. So
I think that's a really cool idea. I absolutely love that. So we'll be in touch, everybody who has reached out, and we'll try and figure it out. Feel free to shoot us a quick message again if you want to be in on this. That's a really cool idea, dude. I love that.
Even if you're just high school rocker, garage band. Reach out if you're a Jays fan and you're a walk-off community member. Get in touch and we'll send you over some lyrics and you can destroy them like a dead cat in a garbage bag. Okay, you ready to pivot?
That was just a great analogy, sir. You're not the best co-host in the biz for no reason there. Absolutely.
All right.
Yeah, let's move on to honestly the topic that I'm most excited to talk about. What does this Toronto Blue Jays team need to do to win the division? I think it's easy to forget at the start of the season how important winning the division is, getting that bye, not needing to deal with a wild card 3-game series. Yes, the 3-game series is better than the 1-game that they used to have back in 2021 and earlier. However, oh man, as Jay fans, we watched that 3-game series against Seattle, and what I would have given for that to have been a 5-game series. Like, could have they come back? Maybe not after that brutal blowing of the 8-1 lead. But you know, the more opportunity you can give yourself to come out of a series, the better it is. And I think that winning the division should be and is one of the priorities of this team. So let's start with health. Yeah. Buddy, probably the most paramount of things here is this team staying healthy. The Toronto Blue Jays have been a very young team over the last few years. We've watched the development of Vladdy. We've watched the development of Bo. We've seen Alek Manoah come in at 23 years old and become the ace of this rotation. The youth has done its part, and they have all logged a lot of innings. Alek Manoah did not miss a start last year. Vladdy played 160 games. Bo, 159. Where this is going to be important is for the aging veterans on this team, the Brandon Belts, the George Springers, the Kevin Kiermaiers of the world. Can they put together 120 to 140 healthy games in this season? And I think that's going to play a lot into where this team winds up finishing when it comes to the division.
for sure.
Now,
I mean, yeah, like you said, there are the obvious names. Anyone in the starting rotation, bad tacos is going to be devastating.
Bad news. Exactly.
Yeah. The definitely a real boon to have a healthy George Springer all year, a healthy Kiermaier all year, a healthy.
And I mean, when it comes to health too, the it works the other way too, right? Because the Yankees need health, and the Yankees not being healthy is something that would definitely help the Blue Jays and vice versa, right? The other thing I think is really important for this team is they need their core to nail it. They need big seasons out of Vladdy. They need a big season out of Bo, out of George, out of Alec. They need these performers that they're paying big money to or that they rely on, like Big Puma. Hey, they need these guys to perform.
We have Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. I would love September Bo on an April afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how's that?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I cannot agree more. I think we are going to see a big season out of Bo again. Health is everything here, but they need the guys that are their guys to be just that, to step up and have big seasons. And then the next thing that I think is going to be really important is that they're going to need a bit of a bounce back from Yusei Kikuchi and from Jose Berrios. I don't even think they need day and night, right? Like, they need these guys who are putting up 5.5 ERAs to be around a 4.2. You know, if we can knock a run and a bit off of their ERAs, that is going to go so far to this team winning the division. It is going to make every difference in the world. I also think they're going to need to play the Yankees tight. Okay. Now, yes,
schedule. How many games is it this year?
So the schedule is more balanced, and that's a really good point. However, they are still playing their division rivals 14 times, which is a buttload.
It was 19 in the past? The
scientific term. It was 19 in the past, yes.
Yeah. So you want to go 7-7? You want to go 8-6? What's your 6-8? How tight are you wanting to play these Yankees?
They absolutely need to at least split the season series, in my opinion. I think you got to go 7-7. You absolutely have to.
Yeah. I think 6-8 is fine. Mm-hmm. I sure don't want to see us go 4-10 against the Yankees.
No.
Can't be.
That's how you lose the division. That is exactly how you lose the division, is going 4-10 against the Yankees.
So those are all great points you brought up, Scott. I agree. I want to add one to the list. Good April.
Love it. Strong start. Something this team does not do very often.
Strong start. The kind of start the Yankees had last year where injuries pop up and you're not panicking. Mm-hmm. You know, where, you know, all the cliches about, you know, when you're the lead dog, the view never changes. I messed that one up already. I need coffee. Anyways, just... you know, like, I mean, you play fantasy sports. I play fantasy sports. The difference between starting the team or starting the year 2-2 or 1-3 versus starting the year 4-0, you know, your leverage for trades and waiver wire, you know, things, like, it's a big deal to start the season where you're like, oh yeah, I can just like let this beautiful team I've assembled have a hiccup or two and not have to be like, oh, I got to dismantle, I better trade this guy. You know, like, you don't have to worry about overreacting so much. You don't have to worry about if you get, you say Kikuchi is struggling. You're like, well, he could struggle. We're 21-3. If he has a bad outing today, Yankees, who cares?
The New York Yankees are a prime example of that, buddy. If you look at what they did last year, I mean, they were on pace to break the major league record for wins in the first half of the season. And they really face planted a couple of times in that final half of the season, right? They had that stretch after the All-Star break where all of a sudden Toronto went from, what was it, something like 12 games back to 6, right? And Yankee, which is still great. I mean, 6 games is still a ton of breathing room. Can you imagine if they were only 6 or 7 games back and went through that? And now they're like, the Jays are 1 game out, and that's, you know, not the breathing room you want to give yourself.
Or if you're 6 games back and then lose like that, now you're out of it. You know,
yeah, so, yeah,
Yeah. No,
no, that's a really good
April,
point, dude.
A good May.
A good April.
That's what I really want to see from these Jays. If the goal is win the AL East. And I think it should be. I think 95 to 100 wins this year is.
Should get it done. Anyone listening, by the way, we would love to hear from you. Feel free to drop your comments below. If there is something that we have left off this list, what do you feel this Toronto Blue Jays organization needs to do to win the AL East? I think that this team, and I might be being overconfident here, I think this is a playoff team almost no matter what happens, no matter what bad tacos come our way, no matter how this all plays out, I think that they are going to squeak into at least a wild card spot, but that is not the way I want to see this season play out.
Absolutely. All right, let's pivot to the AL West then, because it is the wild, wild West, and it is wide open.
My God, is it ever wide open? Listen, Houston is probably still going to take this division. However, losing their star second baseman is a big deal. Jose Altuve, of course, in the World Baseball Classic, took a ball to the hand, wound up doing some major damage, and needed to get surgery. Surgery was done just a couple days ago, and the report came out from MLB.com that he is going to be no baseball activities for a minimum of 8 weeks. So he's going to then need to ramp back up, which, you know, he might be able to do that in a week or two. But my guess is that's probably another 3 to 4 weeks. He's going to miss half of the season. Now, we just talked farm system. Houston's sitting at 26 on the depth chart. So it's not like they have a bunch of guys pushing to come up. And how much is this going to affect the World Series champions from 2022? Time will tell. But I think that they are more vulnerable than people originally thought that they would be, right? And I think that some of these other teams are big wild cards and maybe could upset the Houston Astros and take the AL West. So let's start with the Mariners, right?
Hold on, before we move on from the Astros, you know how tall Jose Altuve is?
Yeah, what is he, like 5'2"?
He's listed on Baseball Reference as 5'6". Let's just call him 5'6".
Okay.
Their replacement, according to ESPN depth chart, is David Hensley, is the heir apparent for the second base role. He's 26 years old. Guess how tall he is. Last season, limited sample size, 16 games. He hit .345 with an OPS of 1027. Very impressive. Good, but small sample size. Guess how tall Mr. David Hensley is.
6'6".
Nailed it. A 6'6".
A full foot taller than Jose. Hilarious.
Insane. Insane. All right. That's the dumb trivia of the day. David Hensley.
I love it. I love it. I mean, it's an iconic photo of Jose Altuve standing at first base with second base with Aaron Judge. It's pretty cool. So I love the small man, tall man idea of the whole thing.
Anybody watching, by the way, trivia night. Next Tuesday, no, this Tuesday, March 28th, Moneyball and Basketball. There's going to be a bonus question. How tall is David Hensley? The correct answer, 6'6". Make a note of it. That's free points.
Free points, baby.
There you go. There you go. Okay.
That was very high school teacher of you. Good job.
Yeah, you know, hey, if you're in class and you're paying attention, you're going to get rewarded from time to time.
Free points. Just giving them away here. Yeah.
All right. AL West. I know you want to get to I think it was the Mariners next. I just want to run a quick rundown for the teams in the AL West for anybody that's not familiar with the divisions, because it's easy to lose track. Rangers, Angels, Athletics, Astros, and Mariners. It's anybody's division, or as Oakland calls it, anybody else's division.
Yeah.
Continue, Scott.
Yeah. They've got a sign above their door in Houston, and it says, "Why not anybody else?"
Remember Moneyball? Okay, sorry. Okay, let's get back on track.
The Mariners, I mean, they beat the Blue Jays in the wild card series last year. I don't like to talk about it, but they did do it, and it is a very good team. Their pitching is very strong. They bolstered their offense with Teoscar Hernandez, former Blue Jay, we all love the new.
Some consider the greatest Blue Jay of all time.
That's right. Cole Calhoun was added. Colton Wong was added. So this is going to be a little bit different looking offense when they go to the bat, head to the plate. However, the pitching is going to be what they rely on, and they're going to succeed or fail on the backs of that, which, I mean, isn't that out of the ordinary for a Major League Baseball team, obviously. But
crystal ball, short answer, don't spend too much time on this. Teoscar Hernandez, free agent next year. Is he re-signed with Seattle, or is he walking?
I don't know.
I think he has a good year, and I think he walks.
I think he walks, too. He's probably going to – he's at least going to test free agency, whether he goes back to Seattle or not. He's definitely going to test the waters. He doesn't play shortstop, so he's not going to be any interest to the Rangers.
I think by the time 12 months rolls around, we're going to look at that Teoscar for Eric Swanson contract and go, yeah, that was a really good trade. I think we have Eric Swanson locked up for this season.
You plus, there, bud?
I think two okay, more. I'm year. Here. I'm still talking. Everyone can hear me. No one can hear you, Scott. We've lost Scott. Scott is gone.
Okay, there we go.
Scott is back. There we go. I've been talking this whole time, Scott. So.
Perfect.
By the time this year rolls around, next year, I think we're going to evaluate this Teoscar trade as a absolute win. I think we're going to see either that he's gone and it was just a one-year rental. Meanwhile, we have 3 years of Eric Swanson, who I think is going to be a above-average bullpen pitcher for us. And then I think we're going to see the massive payday that Teoscar Hernandez is going to get from someone, which I think will be like in the high teens to north of $20 million a year. I think he's going to push like a six-figure contract or a nine-figure contract. Like he's
yeah, $100 million. I think you're right.
120, right. 150. I don't know the terms of it or whatever, but someone's going to pay for a guy that can mash. And I think we're going to realize like, oh yeah, there's no way we were giving Teoscar $20 million over 6 years. Right.
No, agree.
So I think even the Teoscar fans will acknowledge a year from now that, yeah, that was probably a good trade.
Even when you look at Adam Macko and where his stock is at, he's currently the number 10 prospect in the Blue Jays system. And he's going to probably start with the High A Vancouver Canadians, but his stock looks ready to rise. Okay. Left-handed pitcher, a guy who probably will start the year in High A again, but get the bump up to Double A pretty quick. So if he comes in and is a top five prospect in the Blue Jay system, and Eric Swanson is one of our top bullpen pieces, and Teoscar Hernandez is testing the waters in free agency, you're right, man. Looks pretty good.
All right.
Let's move on to the Texas Rangers, because the Texas Rangers, dude, I think the Texas Rangers are the biggest question mark in the AL West. I have no idea how to project this team. Their starting pitching is way better than it was last year. They spent a buttload to do that. They went out and got Jacob DeGrom. Listen, if DeGrom is healthy, he is still the best pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yep. It's a big if, but yes.
It's a huge if. But if he's healthy, he's the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. Nate Eovaldi was brought in. That really helps the depth on this team. They already have John Gray. And then you watched Andrew Heaney get signed to a one-year deal. This is not a bad starting rotation. Do I believe in the Texas Rangers? I have a really hard time doing so. But they're a top five farm team. I think they came in at number seven, actually. So they've got a bunch of players that are ready to make that jump. They've got the best middle infield and probably baseball in Marcus Semien and Corey Seager. Could they take that next step? Could they challenge Houston, the Battle of Texas? We'll need to wait and see. I don't think so, but I do think there is a possibility where Texas is a wild card team this year.
I'm trying to find an articulate way of asking this question. I can't find it for obvious reasons, but who is the bad team that is better than it should be, or the team that is should be better than it is. You know where I'm going with this? It's the Texas Rangers and it's the LA Angels. Which one is more of whatever that is? Because they feel the like Angels. The same franchise. Is it the Angels?
I think it's the Angels.
Okay. I mean for years it's been the Angels, right? But I feel like that's where the Rangers are right now with Marcus Semien and Seager and Jacob deGrom, and it's just like
the Texas all of a sudden, Rangers.
This is
a
good team that should be better than it is, and that's how again I felt like about the Angels for a decade now. Every season Mike Trout has played.
I love the way you describe this too, because the truth is when you look at the Texas Rangers and the Los Angeles Angels, they are both teams that should be above 500 teams, should be challenging for a playoff spot, and would not surprise me at all if both teams are way below 500 at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tough division. They've each got 28 games against the Mariners and the Astros. Those are going to be tough games. So, I don't know.
I mean, we touched on it off the top, dude. The only team in this division that is dog shit and isn't going to do anything is the Oakland Athletics.
Yeah, but they're going to be competing with Vancouver for attendance records all season long. So there you go.
Nah, you can't compete with Nat Bailey Stadium.
Nah, this is true. Does Oakland have a nice, capable, young middle infielder that we could trade for this year? Like,
we're going to wait for them to develop a third baseman and then grab that in a couple of years for nothing. Yeah.
That works.
All right, buddy. Let's wrap this thing up. Really excited for next Friday, dude, when we're actually talking about regular season major league games. It's going to be so awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of watching, what you watching?
I got two things on my list. Okay. So I've got movies that I'm going to go to the theater for. And this is this is an expensive treat. Mom and dad bought me some vouchers while they were so these are movies I'm going to with my kid and my wife. We're going to start this 2-week movie theater streak with Dungeons and Dragons next weekend.
Awesome. The new Chris Pine actually looks movie. Great.
Yeah. Looks great. Fun, stupid adventure. Kind of a show. And then the week after, we've got the Super Mario Bros. Movie. And I could not be genuinely more excited for a movie than that movie.
Dude, I am also very excited. Right. Very excited for the Super Mario's movie. Did you watch the first one?
Oh, yeah. With John Leguizamo. And
yeah, man. Yeah.
Of course. I remember watching that as a kid and being so annoyed because it was like, I mean, I was 5 and it was just like nothing like the anyways. Yeah, I was miserable the whole time. So this is the movie I've wanted for 30 years.
Yes. Hopefully there's less goop in it. That was one thing that still even to this day stands out of my mind. I'm like, where's all this goop coming from? Why is everything so goopy?
Absolutely. You know what I do hope though? I hope there are some references, even just like one or two little Easter egg references to that old movie.
Yes.
In this new Pixar one. Just kind of like a wink and a where like you said, Mario's like, why am I where is all this goop coming from? Something like that. Anyways, yeah, there you go. That's what I'm looking forward to.
And I've got nothing on my docket to watch because it's a working weekend. But I do have a couple episodes of season 25 of South Park set aside, ready to watch. I'm a huge South Park fan and I have been waiting to watch them. But I got to wait for my wife. So she's very adamant that I do not get to watch South Park without her. So that's the plan here. Once I get home on Sunday.
Here's a question from Patreon, Scott, that kind of ties into this. We got a lot of good comments on last episode of Patreon. But this one, Mustard Tiger says, what is your favorite Old Dutch flavor?
Ooh,
I think we were goofing around about beef jerky, knee jerk Fridays with a beef jerky company. We talked Old Dutch flavor potato chips. So Mustard Tiger favorite is Mexican chili. What is your go-to? You're sitting down, you've just partaked in some recreational activities. You got a snack next to you. What's your snack of choice for movie night.
Okay, so I'm big into I like a sweet and salty. So I like chocolate milk. I like to have my chocolate milk, right? They say don't drink your calories. I'm like, it's the only way I want them.
All right.
And then I like zesty cheese Doritos, okay? With a good amount of zest. I'm big into the zest. Don't Very skimp nice. On the zest.
Don't yes. skimp on the zest. Put it on a t-shirt. Okay.
Now for old Dutch, I am a all dressed dude. I like them dressed and I like them well dressed. Top to bottom, baby.
Very nice.
How about yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. I do prefer Old Dutch to Lay's. Who doesn't make a bad potato chip? Canadian Tire. you and I love our puns, and boy, Frank's is on every one of their food, right? And I do love just reading the title while I'm in line. And it's like Frank gets all dressed up or whatever, right? And he's in a tuxedo, and that's the all dressed flavor of potato chips. Anyways, for me, it comes down to who I'm watching the show with, because if I'm by myself, I'm probably going with like a salt and vinegar. But my wife loves salt and vinegar, so if she's with me, I'm going to have to split that bag of chips with her. So if I'm watching a show with my wife, I might stop for like a bag of Cheesies or Doritos, because I know she's not going to have any of those. So if I get a Doritos and it's maybe not my first choice, I'm going to get the whole bag to myself. So that's my life hack. Scott's gone. Scott is gone. I'm just talking to myself now. Scott.
I'm sorry. I don't know what. Yeah, I'm sorry, right. Dude. I don't know.
You're back. We're really pushing our luck. My last thing, I'm not going to repeat everything I just said about it was gold. You missed it.
Yeah.
That's your loss. I will add, though, I don't like dirty fingers. That's like one of my traits. So I am I discovered trainer chopsticks.
Hey.
My daughter and I got into sushi a few years ago, and I figured out chopsticks. She was too dumb and young to figure out chopsticks. So I got her trainer chopsticks, where it's like attached at the one end, right? It's like a hingy, basically it's tongs. It's thin, long tongs is what it is. But those work great for snack night. So if you're sitting there watching a movie and you don't want dirty fingers, you don't want Dorito dust on your digits, trainer chopsticks for your chips right into your mouth. Clean fingers all night long. There you go.
Love it. Very smart. I'm also a big don't like my fingers sticky or dusty type of idea. I gotta get on that. Okay. Thank you very much, everybody who has followed along for the episode. If you have yet to subscribe, we would really appreciate it. Hit that like button, all that YouTube garbage. To the audio listeners out there, really appreciate all of you. Our numbers continue to grow every single week, and it's really because of you folks out there hitting subscribe and listening to wherever you get your podcast. So a very grateful thank you. Feel free to come out if you're Haligonian. Yuck yucks this weekend, tonight, and tomorrow. All right, everybody. We're not going to test our luck anymore with this internet connection of mine, so I'm going to just bid all of you adieu.
Cheers. Have fun tonight, Scott. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Osborne with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Wrong move.
Thanks for listening.